Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Wednesday in the North Shore Drive podcast. We're going to be talking a lot of Steelers again, and we got Ray Fittipaldo to do that with. But I'm your host, Chris Carter. We got to ask the big question. What's up with the Steelers rookies, and why are we not just seeing more of them after both Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. had strong showings in the Steelers win over the Ravens? We'll talk about that, their injury situation, and who's coming back on both sides of the ball. And also, we got to talk about moves that the Steelers are making within their secondary roster-wise. We'll address all that here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, as well as all of our daily content from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette right here on this YouTube channel at Post-Gazette Sports or wherever you listen to podcasts. As I said before, we're joined by Ray Fittipaldo. We've got a lot to talk about, but first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Head to Mike's Beer Bar today, whether you're in for a Steelers or a Pitt game or just chilling in the North Shore. Mike's Beer Bar is the ultimate bar experience that you want to get in this city. They've got over 20 televisions where you can tune into any sport that you want to catch your favorite game. You can even book the TVs and the tables in advance to make sure that you and your friends are watching the big game. And they have over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. More on Mike's Beer Bar in a bit here. But Ray, Mike Tomlin, we asked him a lot about the rookies because there was an indication that maybe Dan Moore Jr. might be back. Now, he said that's a quote-unquote a big if during this, but there's still no indication that Joey Porter Jr. is going to be a starter, even though he played very well in the second half against the Ravens, had a huge game-changing interception in that one. Do you feel like the Steelers are bending over backwards in this rookie situation, or do you feel this is more so a natural process that they're bringing these guys along right now, just crossing their T's and dotting their I's?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, you would think it's an organizational philosophy. I mean, I know a lot of fans are saying, well, Kendrick Green and Dan Moore started as rookies. Why can't Joey Porter and Broderick Jones and Keanu Benton start? And to a point, I understand that, but I also understand back in 2021, there were a lot of extenuating circumstances that led to Dan Moore and Kendrick Green having to play as rookies. So, I mean, I think this is a situation where the Steelers coaches want to be careful. They don't want to put too much on the plates of those guys until they're absolutely ready. And when they are ready, I don't think they want them to turn back. So, for instance, if Broderick Jones would start against the Rams and he gives up three sacks, you know, what's the long-term damage that you do to a rookie in that situation? I think they want to put him in when they know he can handle it and when he knows he can handle it. And apparently for all three of those guys, they're just not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's a decision that the Steelers make on their own. They're the ones that see everything at practice and the meetings and seeing how the vets are doing. I think, like you said, it's always a different situation. You know, you could even go back to Artie Burns and Sean Davis, but the thing that I point to with both their situation and with Kendrick Green and Dan Moore, those were almost like necessities because of how hamstrung the Steelers were with their cap situation in those years. 2016, when Burns and Davis were brought in, that was a team that was paying Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger and Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro and Le'Veon Bell. They were paying a lot of people at that point in time. And so you kind of needed to take riskier shots in certain positions as you were developing there. And the same thing goes for 2021 when they brought in those guys, Dan Moore Jr. and Kendra Green. They had a lot of leftover dead cap money. They were still paying Ben Roethlisberger. That wasn't an easy time cap situation wise. But now you've brought in veterans who have, you know, who are more established in their position. They can hold it down at their spot, you know, more than, you know, in a way that can allow rookies to grow naturally. You know, we had Max Starks, former Steelers Super Bowl champion left tackle, on this very show a couple weeks ago, and he said with Broderick Jones, it's better to cook in the oven than in the microwave, saying that let him develop slowly over time and he'll be a better player for that. But I get people's impatience because he looked pretty good against the Ravens, as did Joey Porter Jr. And yes, small sample sizes, not long terms, and they could play poorly against the Rams and we could be looking at them completely differently after this week. But I look at both situations, and Dan Moore Jr., I know that he's been good at times for the Steelers. Like, he started two whole years for them, and he's been very reliable during some of those stretches. But he wasn't playing well before Broderick Jones went in against the Ravens. And the Steelers' cornerback situation wasn't exactly great before Joey Porter Jr. went in. And so I just look at those two situations specifically and think, maybe with these circumstances, this is the right time to play these guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they did take a step in that direction against the Ravens. That's why Joey Porter was on the field when he made that interception. You know, Grady Brown last week hinted that there might be a little bit more of a three-man rotation before Joey does become a full-time starter. So, I don't know. I think the fans want the Steelers to take giant steps, and the Steelers are kind of in the mode where they're going to take baby steps with these guys. So, I hate to borrow a Tomlinism, but it is what it is. No matter what the fans think, Tomlin and Austin and those coaches are going to do what they want with that secondary. I do think, given the recent moves, Chris, that everything is setting up for Joey Porter to take over outside sooner rather than later, and Patrick Peterson will bump inside. And I know we'll talk about that more later in the show, but you know, they wouldn't have made the moves that they made on Monday without having that in mind, I don't think.
I agree, because the Steelers did make a move to let go of Desmond King. They went and got Darius Rush off the Chiefs practice squad. He's a rookie cornerback. I want to talk about those moves and what that means for the team across the board in just a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast, and get Ray's perspective on all of that. Stick with us. We still have a lot to discuss here. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Like I said before, if you ever are just, you want to catch the big game and you need space to hang out with your friends, you also need great food and great beer, this is where Mike's Beer Bar is the best, because you can go in, you can reserve, no matter how obscure you think your game is. You might be watching Mountain Union play deep Division III football, and you want to catch them playing their big game. That Mike's will find a way to stream even those types of games on their televisions. As long as you tell them in advance, they'll set it up on the TV, they'll reserve you a table, and then you'll have access to over their 500 different beers, 300 of those local beers, 8 of those beers being on tap available, so you can try all the different flavors. And they're switching new ones in and out every single week so that you can get all the tastes of all the amazing breweries around the Western Pennsylvania area. And they also have great meals as well. You can get the steak on a stone meal, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, so that every single piece that you cut off, you press into the stone, and you can choose how well you want each piece of steak that you take a bite of to be done. That's all can happen for you at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar experience in all of Pittsburgh, right on the North Shore on Federal Street, across the street from PNC Park. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, and when you do, tell them Chris sent you. We're also brought to you by the Great Yenzer Tailgate, which is bringing the best of the Pittsburgh to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yenzer Tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyenzertailgate.com for details. See Yenz there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, bringing things down. Ray, let's talk about this move the Steelers did make. They let go of Desmond King, who was a guy that they acquired, you know, pretty early in the season. And people were like, oh, wow, okay, there could be some cornerback help there. You have a veteran guy. He's good at tackling. You know, he can play in the slot. There could be some answers there. And then I think he played all of like one snap. And now he's gone, and the Steelers have let him go. In his place, they went and added Darius Rush. And Darius Rush, for those who don't know, is a fifth-round pick this year by the Colts, but he was cut coming out of training camp. Then he was signed to the Chiefs practice squad, and that's where the Steelers are acquiring him from. Darius Rush, a very similar build to Joey Porter Jr. and Corey Trice, you know, long 6'1", 6'2", ran a 4.36 in his 40-yard dash, so he has pretty good speed. But he's more of a project. He's not going to be a guy that addresses things now. Ray, you know, when I've talked about this, Shannon Sullivan, we don't think has been getting it done at the slot cornerback position, production-wise, coverage-wise, run defense-wise. It just hasn't been an answer. What would be the Steelers' answer if you're looking at how the slot cornerback should be addressed moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, just one more point on Rush before we talk about the slot. Rush is a big, tall, athletic outside corner, as you mentioned. So they're basically swapping out a slot corner for another outside corner project. And what does that mean? Well, that means Patrick Peterson has to be ready, excuse me, to play on the inside sooner rather than later. You mentioned it. Shannon Sullivan is just kind of a guy at this point, you know, I would say average to below average in his performance through five games. And you know, Patrick Peterson talked from the very time that he signed here in March that he was excited for a different role. You know, he didn't have to play outside corner anymore. He could keep his eyes on the quarterback and maybe be a different type of a player later in his career, like many outside corners do. You know, you become a safety a la Rod Woodson, or, you know, you take on a different role. And we just haven't been able to see that from Patrick Peterson a lot through the first month or so of the season. So, you know, Desmond King didn't work out. But if they were really concerned about the slot corner position, Chris, I think they would have gone out and got another slot corner to replace Desmond King. So this tells me that Porter's going to be out there full time fairly soon, and Patrick Peterson's going to be in the slot mostly full time fairly soon as well.
That would be a huge move, I think, by the Steelers. And one, this would address what we're talking about with the rookies and maybe that Joey Porter Jr. is about to get more time out there. I wonder how soon this is going to happen. I also wonder, you know, if Patrick Peterson will fit in that role well. You know, there's been times where they moved him to the slot where he's covered slot guys, he's covered tight ends, he's covered over the middle, and he's kind of looked fine doing that. But the place that I have the biggest question from the slot is that oftentimes the Steelers, the guy who plays in the slot for the Steelers, needs to be physical. They have to come up. They have to help against the run. We haven't seen that part of Patrick Peterson just yet in the Steelers game. Do you think that could become a big issue for the Steelers secondary?
I mean, you're right. You know, you go from Mollett to Hilton. All of their guys over the years, really the last decade or so, all of their slot corners have been able to play in run support. You might be taking a leap of faith that Patrick Peterson can do that. But as we talked about, what is Shannon Sullivan giving you in that role?
Right.
I mean, it's minimal, his run support at this point, and his coverage hasn't been very good. You know, the Steelers probably lose that game if Nelson Agholor catches an easy deep ball from Lamar Jackson that, you know, Sullivan was in the area. People say, I don't know, Sullivan or Porter, whose guy that was. I, you know, I thought Sullivan just, at the very least, there was a miscommunication there between those two. So my point is, what could it hurt at this point? You acquired Patrick Peterson for this role. If you're not ready to do it in the middle of October, I don't know when you're going to be ready to do it.
I feel you on that. I also wonder if there's a possibility for the Steelers to say, like, you know, hey, let's try this out. But the trade deadline is in about a couple weeks here. In fact, October 31st, Halloween, is the trade deadline. I would wonder if the Steelers would try to make a move at some point to say, hey, you know what? If this doesn't work out, we just need a slot corner. And slot corners aren't expensive pieces. You know, if people, if someone wants to move their guy, there you can usually get that for it without having to, you know, give up too much draft capital. I wonder if that could be a move here that the Steelers do resort to, or if they're just going to be just set dead set on trying to make it happen with the guys they have on their roster now and then readdressing this at the end of the season.
I mean, the only issue with that is, let's say they even make it a week before the deadline. You'd be week eight, week nine. You'd basically be halfway through the season, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know the guys the Steelers acquire, they don't come in and get plugged into the starting lineup right away. So let's say that guy takes 2 or 3 weeks to acclimate himself. I mean,
good point.
Can you afford to wait all that time? Can you afford to wait until Thanksgiving for that guy to get on board as, you know, the so-called moving train that Tomlin talks about? I mean, if you're going to make a move, I think you got to make a move with a guy you know that can help you. That guy would have to play right away. And just knowing the way the Steelers do business and the way they operate, I'm not confident that anyone they acquire at midseason would be able to step in. I thought Omar got high marks last year because what they did at the trade deadline, they acquired a pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pick that guy in May. It didn't turn out that way with Joey Porter, but you pick that guy in May, that guy should be ready to help you once the season comes around. So I don't know, not a bad idea. And I certainly don't close the door on Omar doing some stuff at the trade deadline, but the clock's ticking. I mean, time's running out. If you want to address the secondary, I think the fixes have to be within that locker room right now.
I think it's certainly a major question for the Steelers. You know, we talked about this, you know, several times before. Minkah Fitzpatrick has played in the slot almost as much through five games as he has all through last year for the Steelers. And, you know, part of that, I think, is because they're trying to find answers for a position. And if they find an answer with Patrick Peterson moving on into the slot, great. I think that's awesome, and that addresses a key need and keeps Patrick Peterson on the field. And I think part of this also, I think Mike Tomlin really wants Patrick Peterson to still be involved in this defense, even if you're acknowledging like, hey, he doesn't have the speed, he hasn't worked outside really well so far. That's why Joey Porter Jr. is going in there. But I think Mike Tomlin, knowing that guy, I mean, that's a future Hall of Famer. That's a guy that carries a lot of respect around the locker room, around the league. You don't want to just bump that guy down, not use him, kind of disconnect him with the team and put him in that situation. You want to kind of keep him in the fold somehow. This could be a way to one, address the slot cornerback situation and do that at the same time. And as much as, you know, calling plays or making in-game decisions is part of a coaching job, so is maintaining relationships in the locker room, things like that. And I feel like that might even be Mike Tomlin's biggest strength is maintaining the locker room, because in my time following the Steelers, he hasn't lost one.
Yeah, that's true, Chris. I mean, listen, it's a delicate balance when you have a guy who is in the latter stages of his career, has a Hall of Fame resume. You don't want to just give up on him after 5 or 6 weeks. You know, you kind of want to let him maybe find his role with the team. And I think maybe part of that is just, honestly, it's just waiting for Joey Porter to be ready. And then maybe it'll just click when Patrick Peterson goes inside. Maybe the entire secondary would click at that point. We don't know. I think maybe, a lot of fans are kind of grasping at straws. They kind of want the rookies in there, and they want Patrick Peterson in a different spot because it hasn't looked good so far, but there's no guarantee it's going to look better once they do make that move. So I know this, Chris. The bottom line is the secondary has been a disappointment through the first 6 weeks of the season. It's got to get better. We talked about it. They've got to get Minkah in better position to make game-changing plays. They got to be tighter on the outside with their coverage. They got to be better in the slot. It's a whole picture when you're talking about that defensive backfield. It just hasn't been good enough here in the early going.
We still got more to discuss here. The Steelers look like they're getting healthier coming out of the bye. That could be really good news. We'll talk about just who's getting healthier here in a minute on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, we'll remind you this show is also sponsored by Savinus Kane & Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation on your case. That's Savinus Kane & Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, which is the place where you can go to buy tickets for your favorite event without it being a stressful effort. Game Time is an app that you can download right to your phone, or you go to their website, gametime.co, and it gives you the fast and easy way to buy tickets for whatever your event is, sports, music, comedy, theater, anything along those lines. Game Time will help you get tickets and get tickets for great prices. They'll also make sure that you're getting the tickets that you actually want. Sometimes you're looking at a ticket and you're not sure, what's the view from my seat? How is this going to, you know, work with the price that I'm paying? Is this the actual price where I pay it? Or are there hidden fees? Game Time gets rid of all of that. You see the view from your seat when you click on your seat in the app or look on the website. You can also see all the prices up front, no hidden fees. It takes two clicks of a button, and those tickets are yours. And you can even book tickets up to an hour after your event has started if you're running late and you don't know where you're going to get your seats. This is where Game Time comes in. They're such a great tool to use, even when you're playing, even when you're running up to the last minute to get your tickets. So get to Game Time today, and with their best price guarantee, you'll know you're getting the best price every single time. Why? If you find tickets into the same event in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference of those prices. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm Chris Carter with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, let's talk about the injury situation for the Steelers. Now, we got indications Deontay Johnson said he was going to be back this week. Mike Tomlin, kind of wanted to play it by ear still a little bit, talking about, you know, needed to see how he'd practice this week. But also Pat Freiermuth said he vowed that he would be able to play this week. Do you think these guys actually are good to go, or is this still very much a work in progress for the Steelers going into this game Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike just, for whatever reason, didn't want to commit to Deontay Johnson coming back. But, I mean, it's 8 days ago now that Deontay Johnson told us he's definitely going to play. So unless there was some kind of setback with that hamstring injury on Monday when he practiced, then that's not an issue. Deontay Johnson's going to be back in the lineup, and Pat Freiermuth told us on Monday that he would be back in the lineup too. So, Chris, I mean, it should help the Steelers' offense. Deontay Johnson led them in targets, receptions, and receiving yards last season. Pat Freiermuth, we all know what he's capable of. But the issue is, Deontay Johnson played 17 games last year. Pat Freiermuth was relatively healthy last year, and the passing game really wasn't that good throughout any of 2022, except for maybe some key moments when they needed it to be. So, it should help, but I also hesitate because I know what happened last year when those guys were in the lineup full time. And to be honest with you, it didn't make much of a difference.
That's the big thing here, right? Is that it's great. You're healthy again, but you still haven't been good on offense, and you haven't clicked yet. This offense has still not had a 400-yard performance since 2020. This is Kenny Pickett. He's been very much a roller coaster so far in his career, and he can still grow. But I think it's just another sign. Is like, you know, yes, it's great to have your guys back, but There's so many things that have to happen for the Steelers offense to finally be the unit that can actually win the Steelers a football game. The offensive line has to perform better. Kenny Pickett has to perform better. I think that there's still more coming together that this group needs. And Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth coming back, that can be an asset. But it can also be a thing where Kenny Pickett needs to get back into the groove with those guys in games. And that can take time. And I'm not so sure that this week is the week to do it on the West Coast. Mike Tomlin doesn't have a great record playing on the West Coast. I will say the Rams defense isn't what it used to be. They still have Aaron Donald, and he's a problem, but they don't have the same edge rusher presence they used to have when they won the Super Bowl, or the presence in the secondary that they had when they won the Super Bowl. And so maybe there's some chances there, but this is a team, you know, we asked Mike Tomlin on Tuesday about if there's an identity to this team. And he talked about it's an evolving thing. He's like, you know what? I'd like to think we have, but it's something that we're still figuring out. And I think it's because on defense, they kind of know who they are, at least with the edge rusher position. Those guys are going to be what wins you on defense a lot. They need to stuff the run so that those guys can rush the passer, and then their secondary needs to take advantage of bad passes. But on offense, they need to have more success before they have an identity. They thought they had one at the end of last year. They kind of abandoned it in the first few weeks or so. I think they started to get back to it against the Ravens with running the ball more and letting Kenny Pickett kind of play off of that. But that's what the Steelers need, some sort of consistency on offense. We haven't seen it since halfway through the halfway point through the 2020 season.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think what happened at the end of last season. The $100,000 question is, why didn't you pick up where you left off? Why did you have to tinker with it and maybe go in a different direction? I mean, it's water under the bridge now. Hopefully for the Steelers, they made some tweaks during the bye week that will work, and maybe they'll get back to that identity that helped them at the end of last season. But we'll see. Also, one thing, Chris, before we go, little game within a game against the Rams, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens versus Akella Witherspoon. Is there a little bit of an advantage there? Those guys knowing each other, offense, defense, who has the advantage there? Also, Kevin Dotson on the Rams offensive line, who has the edge there? The Steelers know him. He knows the Steelers. So that's something to look out for on Sunday. Kind of two recent Steelers who were having success with the Rams. How does that all play out Sunday afternoon?
Well, the last time the Steelers faced a former offensive lineman and a former cornerback, that was the Houston Texans game, and that did not go well. The Steelers needed to go a completely different direction. But a very good point by you that is going to be one of the story points for this game. He's Ray Fittipaldo. Read all of his work as well as all of our work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at post-gazette.com. This is the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back Friday with Brian Batko with your final news points going into the weekend on the Steelers. And don't forget, we'll have the Akershire Fan Event where we answer your questions here on the show, and we'll have an expert covering the Rams here on the Saturday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast. We'll see you then right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Stick with us here on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.